fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis, the other guy in here on the other side of the news. But I am, you're listening to WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. And we'll be talking about some local events, including icebergs, ice shifts, ice sightings. Mm-hmm. We have a witness to this in the studio. We won't be revealing the name, but we vetted her, and her story holds up. And this is about an incident on a COTA bus in Columbus with people identified as ICE. What can you tell us? What happened?
Yeah, I'm a commuter. I take mass transit. I am a veteran. I have a traumatic brain injury, which impedes me from driving. So I take mass transit everywhere. And so I was on the number 4 on the way home.
And that's the number 4 bus route?
COTA, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where's the 4 go for our listeners?
That actually goes from the center of Columbus near the municipal court all the way out to OSU and then does a loop around and comes back.
All right.
So I was on the number 4 and they had stopped at 3 stops into, we were still downtown, and there was like a flurry of people moving around on the outside of the bus, and 3 men came on the bus with a dog. And one had a vest that said ICE on it. The other 2 were unmarked. They were just simply in a, to me, it looked like a firefighter outfit, you know, minus the badges and stuff. And they asked why they were on the bus. So I saw ICE. I was like, why are you guys on the bus? And they ignored me. They took the dog, went all the way back, and came back down the bus. And I said, seriously, why are you guys on the bus? You don't have a legal right here. And then one guy says, just don't worry about it. I'm like, no, I am worried about it. You'll have a right to be on this bus. And I kept looking around. They do not have a right to be on this bus, people. So they took me off the bus. And the bus driver was told to move on. And so they pulled my ID, of course, and I gave it to them. I gave them my veteran's card as well. And they asked to search my bag. At first, I refused.
So then they asked to violate your Fourth Amendment rights of search and seizure. So they had no probable cause other than you were standing up for constitutional rights.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't know what country that's happening in, but it shouldn't be happening in our country.
Absolutely not.
So they ask you, right, and you can always waive your rights.
Sure.
Don't do it, listeners.
Don't ever do it.
Don't ever do it. Make them get a warrant.
Absolutely.
So they searched your, what'd they search?
Well, they searched my bag. They actually pulled it out. I'm an artist and I have different pads in there as well as the micron pens in a little box. So they just literally like gutted my bag onto the sidewalk. And then they had the dog go through it, go through the bag, and the dog didn't hit on anything. And I asked, is this a drug dog? Is this a bomb dog? Because I don't have anything either. And I'd like to say, I'd just like to let everybody know I am just left work. I've had nothing of alcohol. I am not under the influence. I am asking why they were on the bus. So I kept saying that, and they kept telling me to shut up. So they checked my ID, and they took the CBD bottle and picked it up and looked at it, and he opened it up and sniffed it and asked, why do I have it? And I said, well, I have PTSD. And it's one of those things that helps with my anxiety and just the arthritic pain from my injuries. Mm-hmm. And so he said he was going to keep it. And I asked why. And he said, well, I'm just going to keep it. So we're going to test it. And if there's anything that they find in it that is other than CBD oil, they were going to issue a warrant for my arrest. So they had all my information.
Well, again, it seems like you were targeted there.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt for the first time in my life since leaving the service, I felt like a target.
What have you done since then? This has been circulating through social media.
Yep. Yep. I had originally posted on Facebook warning my friends, especially those that carry CBD oil, specifically that just don't carry it with you and know your rights. Don't give in. And I did talk to CODA's supervisor named Amanda.
And you are an immigrant.
I'm an immigrant. Yeah, sure. No.
Okay. And you were bringing this stuff across the international border.
I sure was, yeah, with a handgun.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how it was any of ICE's business, right? Because their immigration and
it shocked me.
Customs enforcement.
Yeah.
And you're not an immigrant, and you weren't crossing any international borders.
Right. I was on the
CODA
bus.
So it must have just been let ICE harass people day. Which is what they do.
Yeah, they scared the crap out of everyone there. They kept asking other people, you want to join in on this? You want on this? And people were just scattering. They were just so scared. And I kept asking.
No one kind of said, yeah, I'm
in. I'm like, please record this. I don't know what's going to happen to me.
So it's sort of been a little viral there on local media.
Oh, absolutely.
And people are doing what? I know some are calling down. I saw Susan Halpern called down and what did CODA tell her?
CODA told her that they were police dogs, that they were actually a Columbus PD searching the buses. But they.
And one of them just happened to borrow a vest from ICE?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
So let's analyze this. This is peculiar because Trump's supposed to be involved in the largest rounding up of residents in the U.S. since, of course, the Japanese internships,
right?
Intern camps.
Mm-hmm. World War II. Jesus. Yeah, it was very frightening. And of course, my friends are, they called CODA. They've also called the workers' union, and they were wanting answers. Like, why did you let this happen? Why is CODA allowing ICE, members of ICE, on our public transit?
Yeah, I called the city and public safety department, and they actually said they've heard from many people.
Oh, good.
And they're looking into it, and they plan on pulling the video.
Excellent.
On the CODA bus, so we can get a feel for, is it the Columbus Police, which would be bizarre since we're a semi-sanctuary city?
Yeah, that's what, yes, exactly.
Where, if we were really brave, we'd be sanctuary.
We really would be brave,
But we're a little afraid, so we're, going to be a semi-official sanctuary city.
Yeah, I'm really glad they're looking into it instead of blowing. Because when I first called, they were dismissive. It was ridiculous, and I just got home when it happened.
Now, did you call CODA? Did you call the city police?
I actually called CODA to find out where and why they let this happen. That was my first. That was my start, and then from there, some friends of mine got phone numbers to some detectives that were with the city, Columbus Police Department. And apparently they can't, they couldn't explain, they couldn't affirm or deny, so.
Well, we have a special guest, Annie Warnke, who is familiar with these types of activities as
Excellent.
An activist, and she was going to share her perspective. Annie, what would you tell our victim of ICE? How should one react in those situations?
Well, I think that I think each situation is unique, and I think that's part of the challenge of this. And I also think that we haven't had conversations like this to talk about what is it we really do when something like this happens in our lives. I think we have to start with trying to think about what is it we're going to say far beyond this experience. So if I'm thinking about this may happen to me at some point, and I think everybody should be thinking that way, as Nikki's story proves, it can happen to anybody. I think we have to start thinking, what would we say in a situation like that? What would we do? And then I think we have to practice those words ahead of time And ask ourselves, what are we going to do in a situation like that? What are we going to say? And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program about some things that you can do. But I also think that one of the things that needs to happen is some responses that are things like asking, am I free to go? And if they say, yes, you are, then you can say, well, then I don't want to answer any more questions, or I'd rather not speak with you right now, and walk away. That takes a certain amount of bravery because we've been taught to react otherwise. But if they say, no, you're not free to go, then you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to say, I want to use my right not to answer your questions, and I want to speak to a lawyer. If they start to search you or search in your pockets or your belongings, you can say, I don't consent to a search. And again, it's a very intimidating situation.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, they know they're supposed to stop when they hear those kinds of words. And I realize that that in your story, Nikki, that they did take something from you.
Yes.
And again, I don't know if those words would have stopped them, but again, I think we have to practice saying those things ahead of time so we know what to say when we're being stressed out and reacting to those kind of situations.
All right. What's your perspective on confronting? I mean, they get on the bus.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Bob. If you're talking to me, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. Let's see if we can boost it a bit. Hopefully you can hear me now.
That's much better.
Okay. And again, for purposes of the show, the guest will be anonymous, so we're not referring to her specifically by name. But should ICE or who's ever got this dog getting on public transportation, should citizens or anyone in that situation question them being in those situations with a dog without warrants. Is that valid?
Well, no, it's not valid. But the thing I want to say before we go any further is that you nor I, you're an attorney, maybe you can give legal advice, but I'm not giving any legal advice. I'm just saying these are things that can work in terms of how to protect yourself, how to be a little bit safer in these situations. So to answer your question, in theory, the law is very specific about that you have to have, they have to have a warrant, and they have to present that a warrant, and they can only interact around that warrant. They can't come in there and do other kinds of things. And it's my understanding that they really are not legally allowed to come onto the bus that way, and they're also not allowed to do what they call phishing, which is pretending to talk or look for somebody when they're really looking for somebody else. It's illegal, but it's a common practice. And if the Columbus Police Department isn't going to help the person who's being mistreated by them, and the bus driver doesn't feel that he can help, you know, the only other people there are the people on the bus.
Right.
So I think we have to respond to those people and ask them to help us. We have to say they don't have the right to be on the bus, or they don't have the right to come into my house. They don't have a warrant.
Right.
So.
And again, you said you actually did appeal to some of the people on the bus. Did any of them come to your aid?
No, they were frightened. They were like literally deer in the headlights. And I was like, I am afraid what's going to happen to me. And I just kept saying, I am a veteran. I am a citizen. I'm asking why they are on this bus. And they're pulling me off the bus because they're asking me why. And then the guy made a comment about I might be under the influence. I said, no, I just came from work. I am not under the influence of any narcotic or alcohol.
Indeed.
Well, they were clearly looking for probable cause, because once they find that, then they feel like they have every right to do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe they just didn't like the way you looked. These people tend to be very immature and have, you know, a lot of challenges in life, and they love drama. They love the adrenaline rush. And maybe you just didn't maybe you walked funny, maybe you just didn't look like somebody they think they'd like, and so they decided to pick on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sad part of it, you know, really sad part of it.
This is WGRN 94.1. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. I'm Bob Fitrakis, and we've got Annie working on the line, as well as a guest in the studio who was in a confrontation with ICE, or people we assumed to be ICE since they were wearing a vest.
Yeah, one of them was wearing a vest. The other two were not.
Now, Annie, would you recommend asking them their badge numbers or to identify themselves?
Well, I don't think I would start with that, because one of the things that they're looking for is for you to give them provocation. So I think the best thing to do is to try to diffuse what's happening. And I know sometimes there isn't time to do that, but that's why we need to kind of think about it ahead of time. So one of the things is to kind of startle them by asking them a question, or asking the people, I mean, maybe you could loudly say, since there was nobody else, maybe the person who was accosted could just yell out, you know, are you guys all right? Or do you need help? Or do you have a warrant? Or, hey, I like your outfit. Anything that that would kind of cause them to not get the normal response, so they have to stop whatever energy they're conjuring up to do whatever they're going to do. And then at that point, I mean, you have the right to ask for their information, their name, their badge number. Perhaps since there were other cops there, it could have been to ask them to ask them, since they didn't want to give that information. But I believe by law, I could be wrong, but I think by law they're supposed to give that information. And why else would they be hiding it? You know, you're just a common citizen, so why would they not want to tell you that?
Right.
I mean, another. I know in some cases they're going to take the person's phone. Again, that's not legal. They didn't have probable cause. They have to be able to say they have a reason to take something from you or search you if they don't have a warrant. The other problem is, we may know all these things, but they don't care what our rights are. They don't care what the law is a lot of the time. They're just into whatever it is they're into. And this is the challenge we have today. Everybody has that challenge, not just somebody who's, in theory, quote, legally, unquote, illegally in this country. You know, as you're proving, you can be a U.S. citizen. It doesn't matter. They're going to do what they want to do. And this is what's so scary about the whole thing. So.
Yeah, it just seemed like once I mentioned the PTSD and they saw the CBD oil, it seemed like they almost were looking for something else, something illegal. And I was given two choices. Either they search my bag and me, or I go to jail. So I allowed them to search, and the dog went through my bag. Now, I do not know if the dog was a drug dog or a bomb-sniffing dog, but nothing hit on my bag.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, that's amazing that they gave you that choice, because in theory, they didn't have the right to do any of that based on the law.
Hi, we can violate the Fourth Amendment this way or this other way.
Yeah.
That's right. The other thing is that in the state of Ohio, CBD oil is illegal. So that's what I think is funny, is you had the oil and they were like, okay, they've got you, and they didn't even know it.
Right. Right,
because it is illegal in Ohio to possess CBD oil, even though it's still being sold in stores and stuff. So that's a stupid thing anyway. But
that's interesting.
I mean, nothing about what happened to you seemed to me to be legal. And again, I'm not giving legal advice, but if I look at, I can read English, and if I read the law, I have to say these are my rights, and they didn't honor one single right that you have. And it just makes me wonder, you know, where is the bus company? And it's not a company, I think it's a government, isn't it, Bob? Are there an authority?
Yeah, Central Ohio Transportation Authority. It's the a regional public bus service.
Yeah. So I think where we are at this point, and there's other things I can talk about, but where I think we are at this point is to say, you know, we need to start telling people what to do, not just people who are the ones that ICE is looking for,
right,
but those of us who are not going to back down when we're on a bus or in a store or in a church and they come in and they decide they're going to do something to somebody. We really need to start getting information out there about what is it we should do. You know, like I just gave a list of things, but also we need to assess the situation. Are there other people around, and who could we call for assistance to start yelling, you know, turn your phone on and videotape this?
Absolutely.
Most people are going to be too scared to do that.
Oh, yes.
And does a person have a weapon? You know, I'm incredibly intimidated by people with weapons because I've been shot at by a partner. So I have a physical reaction. I have PTSD when all that's going on, so I need to have thought ahead of time what I'm going to do. And I know I'm going to challenge these people because I have a history of working as an advocate and challenging law enforcement. But it's really intimidating and dangerous right now. So I think that one of the things that we need to do besides training people about how to handle these situations is to say, all right, who was really involved in this? Well, it's the bus company. And it's the Columbus Police Department,
yes,
and they didn't do anything to help this person who was being treated in an obviously illegal way. So who's on the bus company board? Who decides what CODA does in this community? And what is the public stand on how people are going to be treated on the bus? Because if somebody said, let's call a strike, and for one whole day, we're not going to let anybody get on that bus in that neighborhood where this happened, CODA might be in trouble.
Yeah,
so
it's a frequent
I think we matter. Just have to stand up and say, what are we going to do about it? And then we got to help each other figure out what to do.
Now, do you think we need to train activists on how to use their phones? And,
absolutely.
And get it out and make sure that they're recording this stuff? That was to you, Annie.
Did you have something to say?
Yeah. Do you think we should be training people to video as well? To be able to respond in the situation, even if they're not jumping in, they're recording it.
Well, I think as the woman is saying, we, you know, everybody is pretty intimidated, and that's because people don't know what to do, and they're giving all their power to this person who seems to be some kind of law enforcement, even though there was no proof of it.
Right.
I mean, if we told people, if you're on the bus and this happens, or you're at work and this happens, or you're in a church and this happens, or anywhere, if everybody just started saying, show us your badge, show us your badge, show us your badge, I mean, there are things we can do, and not to say we shouldn't ask people to videotape, but there are lots of solutions, but we have to think of them ahead of time because, I mean, when you're scared or you've never been through a situation like that, It's hard to come up with the right answer and to know that you got it right. But people, if they're given something to do and they practiced it, they probably will help. And one thing could be videotaping, but maybe they can't do that or afraid to do that, but maybe they could yell out. I mean, sometimes a crowd will do something that one person won't do. Just some things like that, or start throwing their shoes at the cops.
Yeah,
so
just grabbing your phones. I mean, you don't even have to show video. You can just record the audio. You have something.
Do you regret confronting them?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, there's parts of me that are
scared.
You
would do it again?
Yes, I would.
Why?
It's got to be done. It's got to be done. I serve my country. I would not...
So you were in the military?
Yes, I'm prior military. I swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution.
Against all enemies.
Yes, foreign and domestic.
And domestic.
Yes, and I'll be damned if I'm going to allow this to continue on and be complacent.
So even if you got to get Vanilla Ice arrested or
yeah, if I get
proof
arrested,
against him?
Yeah, if I have to get arrested, not that I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, no one looks forward to getting arrested. But at the end of the day, if I can look in the mirror and know that I stood for what I believed in, then I'll live with that.
Did it surprise you that nobody whipped out their cell phones? And
In this day and age, yes. On YouTube, they got recordings of the most ridiculous things, and they wouldn't even record someone talking to ICE. And I wasn't even yelling. I kept asking, why are you on the bus? Please, why are you on this bus? You have no right. So it wasn't like I was yelling at them. It was simply asking. I'm like, can you not talk? And then the guy just didn't say anything. He pointed to the other guy and the one with the ICE, and he's like, all right, off the bus. And that's where it began.
Hmm. Now, you didn't think about sitting down, civil disobedience at that point?
Oh, no. I'm kind of in your face kind of person. So.
Okay. But, yeah, I think, Annie talked about bus boycott. And, again, mm-hmm. The tragedy here is nobody did record it. So I'm thinking when we, go through the training, which... you could lead people and Annie
sure.
could help you. We could set up some training. But
yeah.
Part of the training should be to record the stuff.
Absolutely.
But you're saying that it was pretty scary that these guys were intimidating?
Oh, I have PTSD. And with mine is the social anxiety. And yeah, I couldn't believe what's happening. It literally turned 180. It was literally 180.
Well, one of the things,
and the dog was there.
Was the powerful dog. Is that we're not using everything we have at hand. Who knows the reason? And maybe there were people that did record it, but they were afraid to tell you they did.
Yeah.
But for example, when these ICE people come to these hospitals and wait for people to get out of the car to go in to the emergency room or wherever they're going into the hospital. You know, every hospital now has security in their parking lot.
Yeah.
So what's the policy? We're not asking the policy of these corporations of what's your policy on this. Mm-hmm. And so why aren't the security police saying to ICE, you don't have the right to be here? They're right. letting them through.
And to answer
so
your
it's
question.
Really these companies and corporations that are the ones that need to be held accountable. I mean, every one of them should have a sign saying ICE, it's against the law for ICE to enter here.
I agree. And
so
Bob,
that people feel more safe. And the bus company of all places should have that because they have so many people who ride the bus who are falling into categories where they could be targeted by ICE. And if those customers go away, the bus company is going to go bankrupt. And that's just the reality. They're going to lose a lot of customers if people keep getting too scared to ride the bus.
That's correct.
Correct. And you were going to answer a question I asked you.
Yeah, you were asking about the dog, and the dog was actually calm. The dog was great. The dog was
but
calm.
But what you're saying is you don't know he was there for
drugs
or bombs or just to intimidate someone who might not be properly documented.
Right, because he literally came running on along with the ICE officer, and they were just like very – the physical part was very aggressive when they were walking through, very – very aggressive.
But the dog didn't find anything.
No. No, not a thing.
Okay, so we're coming up with a plan.
Yes.
What's the first thing that needs to be done, do you think, Annie, when ICE gets on the bus?
Well, the first thing is to just ask, what is it you need? Just ask them, what is it you need here? And if they say they have a warrant, then you ask, well, I want to see the warrant. I don't care who asks. Anybody can ask to see that warrant. They have to have a warrant to enter the bus. In fact, the bus driver could refuse to open the door and just say you need to slide the warrant through the door so I can see it. I mean, this is the problem with the whole situation is that there are rules and regulations set up with ICE to make it so people understand they have rights, but they didn't honor that in this situation, and they aren't honoring it in a lot of situations.
Correct.
But the first thing is to assess, and it gives you time by asking, do you have a warrant? Let me see the warrant. That gives you some time to think. And this applies to whether you're on a bus or you're an employer and they come for an employee. It doesn't matter where they are. They've got to have a warrant. They must have it.
Okay. All right, we're at the end, and again, thank you for confronting ICE.
Right on.
And again,
that's
the
right.
The Long Walker will be at the Free Press Salon on Sunday, June 20th, at the Community Festival at 2:45. June 30th, Sunday. Again, the longest walk. So a Native American on a long walk to get us back to to sustainability.
All right, are we done?